We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Just want to gloat in Saturday night a little bit if I can. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe they won that game. There were so many lead changes, and with lead changes come mood swings. There were so many different times where you watched that game and thought, well, they're probably going to lose this game. This seems like a moment that's going to be too hard to overcome. But they kept overcoming. Credit Pat Connaughton. He had three threes. I think he made one. I want to say the score was 79-74, maybe third quarter. Nets looked like they could pull away. It never really got to a three-possession game because both teams would battle back and make sure that that wasn't the case. And there were just so many opportunities. If you're the Nets, you can say there were so many opportunities where we could have put the Bucks away. And I think if you're the Bucks, you do have the ability to say that as well. You know, when Giannis airballs that free throw, you're like, I mean, this is the dumbest thing. Why did I even for a second think that I could have done this? More Wisconsin heartbreak, KD, all the way to the end of the regulation. KD makes the three-point shot. I saw this video. Lifelong Nets fan Jason Sudeikis of SNL was hanging out with other random celebrities, and they were freaking. Jason Sudeikis, this guy's from Kansas. And if you're going to move to New York and work on Saturday Night Live, you're going to like the Knicks. So there he is in a Nets. Like, you don't care. None of these people care. I mean, the Nets, you know, I don't even like. Did you interact with anybody? Did anyone interact with anyone Nets fans ever?
No, I don't. And Travis.
Twitter this week, there was nothing.
Travis Scott was sitting courtside as if he's always been a Nets fan. And when he was a Rockets fan, I guess he followed James Harden when he went there.
Who likes the Nets now are people that like James Harden or Kyrie or KD.
Yeah, they're all fans of the players. They're not fans of the Nets. So, yeah, it is kind of frustrating. Lifelong Nets fan. Is that even a thing?
No!
It's not.
So, there was one point of the game where P.J. Tucker was jawing with someone on the sideline. And I go, I don't know who that woman is right there, but I could tell she's a Nets fan. And it ended up being Kevin Durant's mom. Okay, so whatever. Whatever they had going on was funny. P.J. Tucker, man, he just loves defending Kevin Durant. It takes a physical toll on him, but he just loves the challenge. P.J. Tucker after the Game 7 victory.
It's painful because I am hurting. That was a battle every single night. I don't know if I've ever liked that, but I had to put that much every night emotionally, physically. It was a toll. And that's why the day seemed so long, because it was like it's like one long continuous day of seven games, it seems like. And that is so much with, I guess, a player like him that's you know, you there's no time off. You can't relax for 1 second. You know, it was a fun series battle, and to be able to finally get over the hump against him is pretty nice. So I'm excited. We just getting started, though. Got a lot of work to do.
I mean, this trade is going to go down. They don't get through the series without PJ Tucker, because if PJ's not on Durant, who is? Middleton the entire time? That ain't going to work out. Giannis for a little bit, expend that much energy. You have a guy who can dedicate himself to spending all of his energy defensively on KD, and at the other end of the floor, yeah, he'll be open because Giannis obviously draws everybody in. PJ Tucker, you kick it out. Just give me a couple threes if I need you to. 3-for-5 shooting on Saturday night. So this trade could go down as one of, like, it's like an Andre Rison to the Packers 1996 Super Bowl run trade. Just a massive, massive upgrade.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what you needed for that series. I think he'll have a great impact the rest of the playoffs, but I don't know that he'll have as much of an impact as he did in this past series, because that's why you brought him in, to stop Kevin Durant, or at least slow Kevin Durant down, because there is no stopping Kevin Durant. But he did slow him down, and he played a key role in winning that series. And absolutely, that was a huge trade.
Odyssey NBA insider Brian Scalabrine will join us in about 20 minutes. All insider calls are brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Come to Shell to fill up, save up, snack up, make the most of the stop you need to make. That'll be in 20 minutes. Although I think, I'm telling you, Ram, people want to hear from you. Our next caller is probably, nobody cares about Brian Scalabrine when compared to, hey, what is Ram going to say?
Going on, Bart?
How about those Milwaukee Bucks, baby?
Hey, they pulled it out.
All right, so Hawks in 5, Hawks in 6. What are we thinking?
I don't think it's going to be a series easy like that.
Hawks in 7?
It's going to be a battle. Because...
Am I going to get a Bucks in 7 out of you?
I'm gonna say Trey's gonna present a very difficult task for the Bucks.
He will,
because we know the Bucks can't defend the corner three, and they got 4 assassins on the court that can shoot the ball everywhere, and they're younger and quicker. And you got to give Nate McMillan, if it really wasn't for Coach Thibodeau, if you just look at what he's done, he probably would be Coach of the Year.
Yeah, it's insane that
up there with Monty Williams.
You know, they'll take care of it in the offseason, but it's insane that he's coming into this series with the interim title. He's technically the interim head coach of the Hawks.
Yeah, but he got NBA bench experience, so it's not like he's just stepping in.
Yeah, he was just with Indiana.
Yeah. And he has that team playing on another whole different level. So I think the issue with the Bucks is going to be, can they defend the three and mid-range shooters? They just don't have guys to just shoot threes. They can put the ball on the floor and take you to the rack. And they're playing with house money. They're not even – I'm listening to Trae Young, and they're trying to bait him to say something. And he at 22 years old, he sounds like a veteran. Yeah, man, we out here playing, man. We having fun. And they got bigs that can stay in front of Giannis. They got 7-foot guys that can stay pick up Giannis at half court. You know, so I'm hearing that the issue is going to be Middleton. And then the revenge factor, I mean, not the revenge factor, but one of the factors that the player we try to get is on their team, Bogdanovich. And I see him light up the book for 30 by itself.
Yeah, Bogdanovich, this is going to be so stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
He should have been a Buck. He's not. Ba-ba-da-doo, ba-ba-da-dee.
Yeah. But he's a knockdown assassin, and he's proven that in both series. It's gonna be a fast paced game.
Look at you. I feel like you've got Bucks and 7 on the tip of your tongue, but you don't you've got a reputation to uphold, Ram. You gotta go with the Hawks here.
I didn't say anything about the Bucks in 7. You said
because I feel it in you.
Oh no.
Yeah, you want to say Bucks in 7.
We have to. No, you got to play these games out. I don't see a favorite. And if it comes down between Nate McMillan and Bud,
Vegas sees a favorite. They're like -390. So there's definitely a favorite in this series.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what Vegas says. That's not what I say.
Well, I want to know what Rand thinks, but you won't tell me, which means I think you want to say Bucks, but you don't want to disparage what you've built. Say it.
Well, I'm going to say when I'm looking at them, the Hawks did the same thing that Miami did to the Bucks a few years. They was a number 5 seed, knocked off a number 1 seed. Now
that's irrelevant.
And
give me it. Give me Bucks in 7. Say the line, Ram.
I don't know, man. I'm gonna have to go with the Hawks on this one. I mean, that's what my people are saying. Trae Young is definitely gonna be eating up Bucks guard.
Yeah, no, I commend you. You commit to the bit. The studio audience doesn't like it. I wouldn't want it any other way, I guess. I mean,
But what we have to see is now the Bucks are playing a team that's healthy.
Oh, God. So, all right.
They beat an injury-plagued Nets team and took them 7 games and won in overtime on the road. So now they're going to play a team don't have any injuries and they're straight playing head up. And we're not going to count Dante because I don't see Dante as being an impact player.
I mean, he's a starter, Ram. We got to count that.
Well, but he's not no difference maker.
All right, Ram. Our time is expired for the day.
Yeah, but we're gonna see. We're gonna see.
Can we talk tomorrow, Ram?
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. But they're gonna have to play these games out. And
I understand.
They are the home team.
They are.
They gotta protect home court. But yeah. Remember, Atlanta beat Philly game 1.
I remember that. I do. All right, Ram. Thanks, buddy. I commend it. I wouldn't want it any other way. You know, I can't all of a sudden just start saying that I think the Jordan Love pick was good. I can't start doing that. You get in your lane, you got to stay in your lane.
Yeah, he sticks with it.
You got to stick with it. Steve's in Brookfield. What's up, Steve?
How you doing, guys, man?
Good morning, Steve.
I told you this was not a best out of 5 series. It's the best out of 7. I'm very confident in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I do remember that.
I don't want to hear about injuries for anybody. Everybody's hurt right now. It's almost like tackle football when it comes to the playoffs. But anyway, I am not worried about Atlanta. I'm really not. Yeah, they played good. I watched that series between Atlanta and Philadelphia. And Philly, they just don't know how to score. I will be shocked.
I don't want to say this because they went very far, but Philly might suck.
Well, they don't have really shooters. They got Embiid. Just like Embiid, if he was going to play against Giannis, they're both going to get their 30. It's the other guys. I will say one thing, that we didn't really play as good as we should have played because we could have won this game long before Game 7. Long before Game 7. It's just how they just struggled. But they picked them up. And Holiday's going to have breakout series against Atlanta. But I will be shocked if we don't average at least 115 against Atlanta. I'm not worried about Atlanta. I'm really not. They gave us a present by giving us 4 games in at least we got home court. And I don't think home court plays so much of a factor. But look at all these other series. And here's where I disagree with Ram on one thing, even though I'm always caught.
One thing?
I'm saying that, Kawhi Leonard was out, George carries them, and they still win. Now, someone would have told me that. I said, I don't see that one coming. This series is going to come down to, I think it's going to go Suns and Milwaukee. I really do. I think Suns in Milwaukee, and I think Milwaukee wins this. I really do. I think this is our time to shine. No excuse. We're always beating the team. Say, we're going to struggle against Miami. We're going to struggle against Brooklyn. Yeah. Well, guess what? Are we going to struggle against Atlanta? I don't think so. This one's ours. Probably in 5. Well, I'll give Atlanta 1. I'll give them 1, and that's. I don't even know if I can give them 1. To be honest with you, I think Milwaukee's just going to come out with vengeance. They're saying, we're just going to tap through this. You can just watch the West, see who we're playing.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go Bucks in 5. I am tempted to say Bucks in 4.
They could. They really could beat these guys in 4. It was a big plus. This is our year, and I'll tell you, the Mecca's going to be packed down there come Wednesday.
You still call it the Mecca? That's the best thing you've done on this call.
Yeah. No, the best thing I've done on this call is Milwaukee's going to win the championship.
Yeah, Steve.
So get ready, Milwaukee. This time it's our time.
I like it, Steve.
Yep.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, I have one other thing.
Yeah.
Who do you want to cover their little star player? What the heck is the name?
Trae Young.
Yeah, who do you want?
Put Drew on him. Drew.
You want Drew on him?
Yeah.
See, I was just thinking the other way. I mean, but that's okay. I can see Drew on him.
Well, who do you want?
Well, I want oh my God, I'm just so ecstatic with their win. I can't even think of our Bucks players.
PJ Tucker, Giannis,
yeah,
Middleton.
Tucker, that's what I want. I want Tucker. I want Tucker on him, and I want to hound him like a dog. Just hound him like he did against, you know, make him work. Make him work. Because, you know, he had a really bad game last night. But he punched through a couple shots and they won the game. Philly just blew that series.
Yeah, Trae was like 1-for-13 at one point.
Yeah, they just blew that series. And I don't see us doing that against Atlanta.
Philly's garbage.
Yeah, they really are. I think Atlanta was there for the pickings. And, oh, my goodness, man. I'm so glad that Milwaukee gets to play Atlanta. I really am. Because I think Philly might have caused us a little problems. But Ben Simmons is gone. He will never play in Philly again.
I wonder what Steve, thanks for the call, buddy.
Okay.
I wonder what I wonder what the Hawks have done against the Nets.
Well, that's what's so frustrating about all these people saying, well, yeah, the Bucks, you know, they got past this injured Nets squad. So then, well, and these are the same people that would say, well, the Nets beat the Bucks, so the Nets are going to win the NBA Finals now because they're way better than the Hawks and they're way better than the
Suns.
Dude,
the Nets would have beat – that would have been a five-game series,
that's
maybe.
That's what I'm saying. The Bucks beat the Nets, which was the best team left. They're going to go in. They're going to win games 1 and 2 at home against the Hawks. Game 3 or game 4, the Hawks will take one in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And then game 5 when
but
it comes
Donovan
back
to – Donovan's going to have 49 points and we'll all be pissed.
Yep. And game 5, they'll come back to the Pfizer and close this thing out. And I think the only thing that could possibly cause Milwaukee trouble in this series is if Trae Young starts going off and causing foul trouble, because if you haven't watched the Hawks, Trae Young, he's not James Harden bad, but he draws some annoying fouls too. I could see him drawing some annoying fouls on guys like Holiday if you match him up with him and maybe getting him in foul trouble. That's the only reason I think the Hawks could have a chance. And I don't think that's going to happen, because there's enough defenders for Milwaukee to put on Trae Young that if they decide that they don't want to get Holiday in foul trouble, they'll just switch him off of him, put him on one of the shooters. The Bucks are the better team. Let's just be frank. The Bucks are better.
I know. And if they had to play the Sixers, I think that would have – I mean, Ben Simmons is so bad. Danny Green was hurt. Ben Simmons was bad. Seth Curry was good for a game or two. They're not a good team. They're not a good team.
No.
I mean, you got the only thing that's gonna look. Maybe the Bucks spent too much energy. Maybe that was a knockdown dragout fight, and you don't have enough for the next round. The Bucks are the better team. That's what we know. That is what we know. I don't know if it's gonna be 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 Hawks. The Bucks are the better team coming in. That is clear. That is a fact that we all should be able to know. Chad says, the Hawks are hurt as well. Bogdanovich is a bum knee, couldn't finish the game. They lost DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish. Check your facts, bro, in response to Ram. Yeah, I mean, there's everybody's hurt. We just saw game 1 without Kawhi. Is Kawhi coming back or no?
Nobody knows.
They're not ruling him out. They're not ruling him in.
I don't think he's coming back.
And do we have an update on Chris Paul?
I haven't seen one.
I mean, I don't know. 799-1250, 414-799-1250. We'll talk about all this with Brian Scalabrine coming up in a couple of minutes. Big show 10 to 2 today on The Fan. Want to remind you. Oh, what a great weekend I had. Went camping. Watch the game outside on a TV. I'm kind of like a big deal. Window Select 262-703. Those didn't happen. I watched the game naked at my house. 262-703-3500. 262-703-3500. WindowSelect.com. That, again, is WindowSelect.com. They've got some incredible deals for you that they've always had. Buy one, get one on the windows. That is pretty, pretty, pretty good. Because if you need, I don't know, 20 windows, you get 10 of those for free. I mean, that's half of the job you're getting for free. And there's no limit on how many windows you need, so you will get half the windows that you need for free, no matter how many you get. Great deal. They also do siding. They can do your doors. They'll set up the project with you. The consultation comes at no cost. They'll come out and figure out what you need. Then they'll install it. Once they install everything, no payments for a year. So two great options to make this affordable. Buy one, get one on the windows, and no payments for a year. And then there's this other thing that they do from time to time. They're doing it this week. So do make sure you give them a call this week. They don't charge you a cent for the installation. So not only is it free, half of your windows are for free. You don't have to pay them for a year, but you don't have to cover any installation costs. It's completely free this week. You do have to call them this week. 262-703-3500, windowselect.com, 262-703-3500, windowselect.com. Check them out again, windowselect.com. Brian Scalabrine, longtime NBA player, now with our fine company, Odyssey.
An Odyssey station.
He's one of our NBA insiders. We'll break down the playoffs, Bucks, Hawks with him coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, the Nets looking to inbound. Jeff Green gets it into Durant. Here is Durant moving on Tucker. He turns, he shoots. Yes! And Milwaukee has one timeout. They call for the timeout.
Now, thankfully, it was not a three. It was a two. Bart Winkler here on the Fan, about to be joined by Brian Scalabrine, our Odyssey NBA insider, as we will be throughout the playoffs. Insider calls brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Should that have been a three and the Bucks lose, we're talking to Scal about, who's the Bucks' next coach going to be? Is Chris Middleton? He's a good player, but is he the right piece next to Giannis? How does this team go from here? Why does the world exist? Why are sports the way they are? It get pretty deep and dark. But that was a two. And then the Bucks won in overtime. So now we're breaking down a series against the Hawks. Scal joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Brian Scalabrine, thank you for a couple of minutes. Just the whole weekend in general, but what a game seven that was on Saturday night between the Bucks and the Nets.
Let me ask you, we all have our own perspectives of watching things. Did you actually think the Bucks were going to win that game? I thought the Bucks were going to win the series. I thought they were going to win the game to start the game. But as that game is going along, I had zero faith that they were going to figure out a way. And I think you got to give their defense a ton of credit for figuring it out. Maybe Durant ran out of gas. The Nets in overtime were just they could not find a bucket. And I think an underrated play, you remember when Giannis had Durant in the post and he backed him down? He hit Durant's body three times, got a jump hook, rolled around the rim, and dropped. Kevin Durant didn't make a field goal from there. I wonder if that possession where Durant fought Giannis and he ended up giving up the bucket. I wonder if that possession ultimately spent Kevin Durant for the rest of the game.
That was a huge moment. It was finally the first bucket for the Bucks in overtime. I thought at 109-105 in regulation, I thought, oh my God, they could do this. And then KD hits two shots, including the one you just heard the highlight of. Overtime seemed very bad because the Nets scored right away, but then nobody could make a shot. I don't know how we're not. I mean, you and I are two people that talk on the phone. We're not that close, but I'm going to tell you this. I watched the second half in my boxers, Scal. I don't know what happened. I've never done that. I've been watching sports for 37 years. I've never felt this way. I couldn't watch the game with my clothes on.
And guess what? I've been around sports my whole life. I've never heard of that.
So. I don't know how to explain it. So I'm just like asking people, like, has this ever happened to you? I mean, I don't know. I don't know even why I brought that up to you. I'm just still so happy that they won on Saturday. They do win on Saturday. A great defensive effort. You know, everybody turning things around, and Middleton starting slow, Drew starting slow. Finally, things worked out. And what a game! I think you mentioned the play on Giannis. He needed this game. And I know it's just game seven in the semifinals. There's still a lot to go. But I'm just only, like, imagining what the narrative is on Giannis if he doesn't get over the hump on Saturday night.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of it. Like, it's amazing, as good as he is, doesn't play with the most poise, doesn't – you know, there's playing basketball, there's participating in basketball, and then there's winning. And I don't know how much – you follow, like, watching, like, the opposite end of the spectrum, like Michael Jordan, even LeBron James, for that matter. Like, those guys are playing, like, such a strategic game. It's like a game within a game, a possession within a possession. I'm going to do this now, and later on I'm going to do that. Like, all those things. Like, Giannis doesn't do any of those things. And obviously what you would hope for is for Giannis to grow into that type of player. And maybe, like, going to the NBA Finals or beating the Atlanta Hawks or being in a grueling series where you – sort of outduel Kevin Durant. I'm not saying he played better than Durant, but, like, you know, you beat the Nets, and that's a big win no matter how you slice it. Maybe he'll grow from this moment, and I think you're right. I think Giannis, as two-time MVP, is really accomplished, and he's always been about, like, I'm trying to win. I want to win a championship. Like, MVPs don't mean anything to me. I really want to be the last man standing. I do think he'll grow from this series because the Milwaukee Bucks, at times, you have to, like, scratch your head about their basketball IQ, including, like, Budenholzer calling a timeout and running the play for Lopez, which I wouldn't have done. And then, secondly, like, yo, Lopez passing the ball. Like, what are you doing out there?
So, yeah, they're a dumb team. Barkley was right. They are dumb.
Yeah, but they're gifted, and they have individual players that can rise up at any moment. Like, Drew Holiday was amazing in the fourth and to get that lead. Middleton, I think, it's just the guy is as solid as they get in Giannis. But if their IQ continues to improve – then you're talking about sort of a legacy and a dynasty with this group.
Man, I'm just trying to think of beating the series against the Hawks, which, you know, as we talked to Brian Scalabrine, Odyssey NBA insider here on The Fan, you look at the series, and, yeah, there's, you know, the Hawks are good. They got here for a reason. We all thought it would be the Sixers, but the Hawks certainly got here for a reason. And while, you know, matchups are going to go whatever way they go and things will happen, I'm trying to talk myself out of the way I feel, but I feel like the Bucks. I mean, I think five games. I just feel very confident. And the Bucks are what I know, Scal, is that the Bucks are the better team. How the series goes, we don't know, but the Bucks, right there, they are the better team at least.
You know, when you do the matchup game, it's not even close. I understand that, but Trae Young, and we were just talking about the high IQ or the low IQ of the Bucks at times. Like, Trae Young is off the charts. Like, you see the way that he picks apart defense. He played awful and yet found a way to beat Philadelphia in game seven on their home court. So he's probably going to be the smartest player in the series, but size comes into play. Like, he's like, there's no way, the way the Bucks play offense, there is no hiding. There's no Julius Randle out there, not, you know, like, or with the Knicks, the way that they played offense, or even there's no Ben Simmons out there. Like, the Bucks are offensively going to be really tough for Atlanta to stop. And even, no one really talks enough about Clint Capella and how good he is defensively. I think it gets he's still going to be a great defensive player. It just gets a little bit negated because the Bucks don't have any offensive weaknesses out there. And Brooke Lopez not making threes when Kevin Durant is posing at you at 7 foot and extremely athletic is going to be a lot different than Clint Capella sitting in the lane and Lopez teeing up shots from three. So on paper, it's a 5 or 6 game series max, but that's why you play the game.
Yeah, I mean, we thought that the Nets were going to win this series in 5 or 6. Bucks win, and then we thought the Sixers would win, and now it's the Hawks. So when these two teams match up against each other, Trae Young's going to be a problem, obviously. Bogdanovich was kind of a buck for kind of a night, and so we're going to have a lot of attention to him. With Trae Young was stopping him, is Drew Holiday the right option there? Is it the only option?
Well, it's not just that. It's like it's his pick and roll. So I know, like, everyone looks at the matchup of the guard, it actually falls onto Giannis or Lopez, or even if Bobby Portis makes a resurgence here, it's going to fall onto one of those guys, because once Trae Young is getting downhill, it's the big responsibility at that point to play too. And Embiid, who is legit, like he's legit at defending that restricted area. He even got blitzed, you know, with Trae Young going over the top, shooting the floater or throwing it up to Clint Capella. So there's a lot of pressure on, I think, either Brook Lopez or Giannis, depending on how they guard that. But obviously, it's not Trae Young just busting you one-on-one. Most of the time, he's a phenomenal pick-and-roll player. I've always said this about Trae Young. It was amazing. You know, in the NBA, they used the comparative thing. And everyone said Steph Curry, and I always thought he was Steve Nash. Like, I thought he was, like, more like Nash in his amazing passing ability and not necessarily like Steph Curry. Just because he shot 5 feet behind the line, it doesn't make you Steph Curry. So I think there's one thing that the Bucks are going to have to handle is that pick and roll with Capella rolling to the basket. And Lopez is, historically speaking, been really good at defending that particular play.
You know, there's, you know, how narratives work, scale. Everybody's looking at these teams and saying, oh, there's no LeBron, there's no Curry, there's no whatever. I think the NBA's in a really good spot here because you're making the next generation of stars. You've got Giannis in the Bucks. You've got Devin Booker, who is becoming a star. You've got the Clippers, and then you've got Trae Young. Like, I thought as good as it was for the Knicks to be in the playoffs, I think that is good for the NBA. I think it's even better that the Knicks have a villain again, and now it's Trae Young. I think that his star is rapidly rising, and for anyone to think, oh, the NBA, you know, for some reason, nobody ever knows what the ratings are, but we always talk about ratings. Ah, ratings, ratings. These are going to be two good series with good basketball players and stars emerging.
You know what's interesting is normally, like, the formula for winning a championship has always been you have a top five player and you have a top 10 player, and that's how you usually win. Well, I don't think there's any of that on any team that is still left standing. You know, especially, like, I don't think Paul George, even though he's been playing really well, is a top 10 player. You know, Kawhi Leonard's a top five player. So, yeah, it's just really interesting with Trae Young, you know, the way that he can, like, and historically speaking, we talked about little guys not being able to, you know, play in the playoffs. They get exposed defensively. You can't, you know, design your team around a guy like that. It's just really, really, really difficult. The guy's been a star. He's not an average player. He's a star in the playoffs. And you don't even sense it defensively. So I think you're right about that. Like, I was watching, like, because it was game seven, my son, I usually put him to bed early, but I let him watch the game. And, like, as the game's going along, he likes Trae Young more and more. Like, he likes the feistiness of Trae Young and how, like, he's going against big bad Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, and he's out there, like, making the most shots, and it doesn't matter that he was 1-for-13 from the field. He delivered late in the fourth quarter. So I'm with you. I think, and another thing about the NBA star, and this is how it usually goes, and I even saw a little bit of this with Giannis. Like, if they would have lost the series, a lot of people would have turned on Giannis. Everyone loves Giannis, but a lot of people would have turned on him. Like, NBA stars, they build them up, but then eventually, like, people get sick and tired of the star, and they want a new star. I think that's what we're seeing right now with this particular playoff. Like, my son loves Terrence Mann. You know, like, it's like, this is how it goes. Like, like, everyone likes the new shiny toy, and that's what we're getting this year in the playoffs more than any other year we've ever seen.
What happened with Ben Simmons? I mean, this is almost a guy you have, like, heartbreak for, whatever's happening with him.
I don't have heartbreak. He's the one posting the workouts in the off season on Instagram. He's the one that comes up with all these motivational sayings and stuff like that. I don't buy that. This is, like, to me, this is professional sports, and it's professional sports. You know, you can't have false bravado, and that's really what he has. Look, Giannis doesn't shoot free throws either. The guy makes six in a row, and then, oh, I'm sorry, he airballs and then makes six in a row. He airballs again, makes, you know, four in a row. So the only thing about Ben Simmons is I don't care if he went 1-for-20 from the free throw line. Like, don't be afraid to get there. Just go and play the basketball you know how. Play basketball to get downhill, to attack, to get to the rim, to put, you know, Atlanta, put pressure on Atlanta's defense. Don't play basketball like you're just trying to hide out. If you watch that game, there are moments where he's open underneath the basket. He puts his hands down. He doesn't even want the ball. So I don't have any – in the regular season, it's fine, but in the playoffs – like, it's probably good for the Sixers to see this, and probably good for Ben Simmons to go through this, the lowest point of his career. And he knows that he's afraid of having the basketball, and so does everybody else. And it does sometimes take the playoffs for people to see that and take the stats of a cumulative series for him to see that. So Ben Simmons has one or two choices here. He can tap out. He can blame other people. He can ask to be traded. He can do all these other things. Or he can get in the gym and not post it on Instagram and actually work on his game and work on his free throws and embrace the fact that he has some weaknesses which are costing your team or Joel Embiid's legacy.
Do you think the Sixers trade him? It seems like it's not in a good spot right now.
Yeah, I mean, you never want to like sell low in the NBA right now. Ben Simmons is sell low, but people are really optimistic that they might be able to figure him out, or maybe teams that are muddling in mediocrity, they could get a guy like that. He can help them take it over the hump, but he just can't win a championship. And sometimes that's the case. So I would think that he's on the market, especially with the stuff that Doc Rivers said afterwards, or even Joel Embiid said afterwards. It does seem like he might be on his way out, but I will just say you never know what you're going to get in return, and sometimes trades don't work out. Biggest thing Ben Simmons can do is just embrace the fact that he was awful during this series, and he can get in the gym and he can control this other stuff because he's clearly talented. He's 6'10", super athletic, can jump off both feet, dunk with both hands, finish around the rim. He can do all those things. He just has to get over the hurdle of the free throws. But if I was the betting man, I'm sure everyone in Philadelphia wants to trade Ben Simmons, but sometimes it's hard to make those deals and make it valuable for a team like the Sixers to get back to that championship level.
Brian Scalabrine, one of our Odyssey NBA insiders. You'll hear him throughout the country during these playoffs. When we chat on Monday, Scal, just remember, I'm the guy who watches Bucks games naked.
Oh, your boxers, you said. That's even worse.
Yeah, boxers, yeah. I couldn't go full right, Monty,
we'll
but I went
we'll talk
there.
Later.
Thanks, Scal. Brian Scalabrine joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline Insider Calls, brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. We know life is busy, so come to Shell to fill up, save up, and snack up, and make the most of the stop you need to make. That, again, is Brian Scalabrine. He'll join us throughout the playoffs Mondays, 9:25 here on The Fan. You can join us right now, 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Giannis on the post-game podium afterwards. This was a big win, guys, for the Bucks. Obviously. Is it franchise-defining? I don't know. But I do know that if they don't win that game, a lot of changes would happen. But this is a moment that Giannis and this team has worked for their whole life.
We've all worked extremely hard to be in this moment. You know, and I'm not talking about basketball. I'm talking about life. You know, and just being able to be in a position on the road, game seven, like you watch this growing up on TV and see like the all-time greats going head to head in game seven and, you know, getting big wins. So no matter what, you know, you lose the game. But at the end of the day, we worked extremely hard our whole life for this moment, right? So I wanted everybody to live up this moment, to feel this moment, to cherish this moment, you know, because we are built for this. That's why we are here. You know, no matter the pressure, no matter what's going on, we are built for this, right? So we believe in who we are. No matter what happens, win or lose, we're going to stay together. And we're just going to go out there and compete.
One of the things Giannis said afterwards, too, is you can't predict the future. I mean, we want to win. We're going to try to win, but the outcome could be good. It could be bad. I don't know. And I just, as we're sitting right here today, we could have heartbreak right ahead. You know, we all think we're in a pretty good spot here, but we know what the Wisconsin sports curse does to us. And this would be as vile as ever, but the curse knows no bounds. Oh, let's give them this win against the Nets, and then we'll get them. And you know who we're going to lose to? We're going to lose to Bogdanović. Remember when the Bucks had him? So we know that the curse lurks and tries to find a new parasite and a new host. And maybe Toby broke the curse.
Yeah, I broke the curse.
I told you the curse was coming for you. And you said, no, Bucks are going to win. I said, okay, Toby.
I had some confidence in them, and I have lots of confidence, and you do too, in them going into this series. And they're the better team, so they've got to win. This one, with the Nets, you could make excuses because they're going against a guy like Kevin Durant. They were, you know, going into the series, they were going to have to face the big three of Harden and Kyrie and KD, and you could make excuses for them. There's no excuses the Bucks can't win this series, and there's no excuses that they shouldn't win this series.
Like Saturday night, there's eight games to go. If they're going to win a title, they've still got to win eight more basketball games. But I do think that Saturday night, I just want to soak it in a little more. Saturday night was a call your family and friends sort of night. Saturday night was a, you know, it actually feels good to like sports for once kind of night. It was just a great night. And anybody who's, you know, been a Bucks fan for any amount of time, you know, you just need wins like that to keep going. Because the Bucks fans, I mean, we've had heartbreak after heartbreak, and that's the kind of win that sucks you right back in, man.
Yeah, I mean, there was just a heavy weight of burden going into that Game 7 of, you know, possible disappointment once again, and it looked like it might go that way early, and then the Bucks were hanging around, and then they kind of had it there at the end, and then they kind of were trying to lose it there at the end, but they came out on top, and it's one of those great feelings that's why we love sports.
799-1250, Dave is on the northwest side. Good morning, Dave!
Good morning, sir. First thing I want to point out, and I don't think anybody else caught this, is if they'd have lost by a point, I would have blown a gasket. I don't know if you know this, but about 10 years ago, the NBA used to send neutral scoreboard people to playoff games. And I know that because the woman who was my principal at the time, her husband is the guy that works the Bucks, and he was traveling all over the country during the playoffs. And I notice now that they're not doing that. So what really bothered me, because as a coach, I knew this right away was a huge thing, is that when Jrue Holiday went to the free throw line to shoot his first free throw, they hit the buzzer. Big, huge no-no. I'm thinking, why are you doing that when you know and you've known for years that you don't buzz anybody in until the guy shoots his first free throw? And the refs took the ball away from Holiday, and he looked all confused, like, what the heck's going on? And then he proceeded to miss the free throw. To be quite frank, that game should have been over.
When was that in the game? I'll have to find
about 2 minutes. Two minutes left to go in the game.
2 minutes left to go, okay.
Yeah. So that was that. As a former member of the Chris Middleton Hater Club for Ram, I said, this is two games in a row now that he stepped up big. He was not playing well at all, but he came up clutch right at the end, and that's really what you need. And I will never, except for his dribbling, have any issues with Chris Middleton and shooting. I think what they found out, though, is how effective he is in the mid-range, that they let him go back to it. And I think they need to let him stay doing that and pick his spots for his three.
Yeah.
And one last thing. Can we stop talking about Giannis shooting jumpers? I get shooting threes. Forget, he needs to stop doing that. But if you've ever noticed, from the left elbow, he's deadly. He hits that more often than not. And I wish that instead of trying to drive through and get offensive fouls, every once in a while he drives hard, hits that elbow, goes up with a shot, and hits it, because those are the ones that he makes.
I like the hook shot.
Well, that too. I don't like the push shot.
Yeah.
Where he just sort of comes from the shoulder and shoves it over somebody. You know, he forgets to use his form. But what was their record against Atlanta this year anyway?
2-1. Really, there's only one game that the rosters were kind of the same. Trae Young missed a game, and then the Bucks were like just a completely different team, and so were the Hawks. So they won in January, and then they split in April.
Well, all I can say is that Trae Young is no Kevin Durant, and his supporting cast, even with a hurt Harden, is at best equal.
Yeah, Bucks should win this series.
Yeah, I think in five.
Yeah, I kind of am leaning there too, but I also like, thanks, Dave, you know, what I said earlier, the curse is right outside. You know, sometimes you're in your house and you think you see a silhouette moving, or you think you see a shadow, and you're like, is someone in my house? No, that's the curse. Curses everywhere. Follows you. It's all over the place. What I did like about this game was, as Dave mentioned, Chris Middleton struggled. And Drew Holiday struggled. Drew Holiday started 2 of 17. But he did not give up. He kept fighting through it, and it allowed him to get a big three at the end, and that was great to see.
I've been in this league long enough to know that sometimes you're going to hit him and sometimes you're not. Sometimes the game's not going to go your way, but you can't be timid, especially in a game seven where I'm given the opportunity to come out here and knock these shots down and take these shots. I feel like my teammates trusted me to take those shots and knock them down, so really just have to be confident in it and just know, man, they're going to fall. You keep on doing the right things when you play. They're going to end up falling.
I think another thing that we wanted to hear after the game was, all right, there were 8 seconds left, and then there was 2 on the shot clock. The inbound came to Brook Lopez, and he, like, passed it. It was very J.R. Smith of him. So why did that happen? Here's what Brooke said.
Honestly, I made a mistake. You know, I wasn't aware. I knew there was 8 seconds on the game clock. I had no idea there was still a shot clock, you know, and I made that mistake. It's what it was, you know. And so after that happened, you know, I just took it upon myself. And I told my teammates, you know, I made a mistake, but let's go get this. You know, I'm going to fix this. We're going to fix this, you know, and so. It happened, but, you know, it was great to see how resilient
at the end of regulation, it allowed Kevin Durant to hit that 3, which was not a 3. It was a 2. Thank God. Eric Name asked Coach Bud about that Brook Lopez mistake.
Was that Brooks mix up on the shot clock?
That's me. I got to help him better. I got to do better. I think fortunate to come out and get the win, but in some ways, I think, you know, all of us were more motivated to make sure we got it. But that's on me.
So I don't mind him saying better there because that's, yes, you have to do better. Yeah. In that case, you do. It's not, he's not just saying that. You actually have to coach better and let your guys know the situation. That's, you can't assume. You just, it doesn't hurt to over-communicate as a coach. That did set up Kevin Durant's last shot, which, of course, was made in regulation, foot on the line. Because P.J. Tucker was dead set. He's like, you might make this shot here, but it is not going to be a 3.
Honestly, I just wanted to make sure he didn't shoot a 3. And then, you know, when I cut him off, I thought he would, like, 1 foot or, like, step back. When he spent, he threw me off, and that shot was incredible. Like, I don't think people really appreciate the level of difficulty of that shot. Like, I've never – it was incredible. And I laughed. I actually just laughed after he made it because it was incredible. So I actually appreciated being a fan of the game to see somebody make that kind of shot. Just got to appreciate it. Even though it's on you, you got to appreciate it.
Hey, Bart, okay, man. You've been talking a lot of the show. What's with all these sound bites right now? Did you run out of things to say? Au contraire, mon frère, I was in my basement at 8 o'clock last night making these cuts, so I'm putting them on the air. How about that?
I really appreciate your hard work.
I'm just the hardest worker you've ever known. Everyone thinks I work 20 hours a week. You don't know my grind. I'm not Ben Simmonsing my workouts on Instagram. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll, like, gram me in my basement, slouched over on my Goldberg chair I got from WWE Fastlane 3 years ago. Like, here's me making cuts.
Well, that's the content we all want.
Here's me reading an article from The Athletic, and then the next day I'm going to, like, say the points that was in the article, but not credit where I read it from. Here's me memorizing the box score. Dennis is in Tulsa. What's up, D?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hey, everything broke right for the Bucks this year, man. You know, with the injuries to Harden and Kyrie, it's no way possible Atlanta going to win no more than 2 games at the most in this series. So the Bucks going to win the finals this year. I'm going to use a Charles Barkley phrase. I guarantee they win a championship.
Yeah, Barkley guaranteed that too. And Barkley's guarantees have not been good, though.
Well, that's Barkley, man. But I'm guaranteeing they're going to win a championship. No doubt about it.
All right. No so doubt. Now this is the Dennis guarantee.
Guarantee it, man. And I'll call back when they win it and we'll talk about it.
Oh, I can't wait, Dennis. I can't wait. Just the fact that it's like there. It's there. And I don't know what a finals matchup would look like. Let's play ahead a little bit. You do a finals matchup against either the Clippers or the Suns. The Clippers could win that series. You get Kawhi again if he comes back. I don't think he will, but they still won't rule him out. or the Suns. The Suns. So you got Devin Booker, Chris Paul. Okay, that's nice. DeAndre Ayton, fine. I would almost take the Suns in the series against the Bucks for the mere presence of Jay Crowder alone, because the Bucks just do not beat him. Whatever it is, they cannot beat Jay Crowder ever, anywhere. So that would worry me. But I think we want to get a finals appearance. We want a championship parade. I think a lot of us, like, we need a finals. Just give me the finals. Let's experience that. I'm not saying losing is okay. I've been so close for so long now. Just get me to a finals.
Yeah, I mean, this is your best opportunity. You're already here. You might as well win it. You know, you don't know what's going to happen with the Nets going forward. If they're all healthy, you might have to try to go through them at full strength again next year if you don't win it this year, and I don't think you want that. You've got past them already. You've got the Hawks and either the Clippers or the Suns in your way. Let's go get that championship. This is the year.
It's my favorite saying in sports, we didn't get this far to just get this far.
Yeah.
We got eight more to go, so let's go there. As far as your entertainment viewing for the night, the Brewers are on very, very late. 8:40 is the first pitch. Do not come here tomorrow expecting a full breakdown. I'm going to go to bed early. This is the one night of NBA that I've been watching every NBA game, every single one. These games start at 8 o'clock now, and I think 7:30 for the Bucks on Wednesday, but then 8 o'clock the rest of the way. I'm tired, man. I'm very, very, very tired. The last thing I'm going to do is to stay up and watch the Brewers against the team. Like, I'll watch some of it, of course. But come 10 o'clock, your boy's going to bed. Because the Diamondbacks have lost 17 in a row. Yeah. And if I stay up till midnight, Toby, I'm either going to watch a team beat us that shouldn't, or I'm just going to see what should happen. That's a win.
Well, I don't want a crabby Winkler coming in tomorrow when Brett Anderson managed to end that losing streak.
Oh, my God. I know. So we will do it. We're gonna have a great segment tomorrow on the Brewers where I'm gonna read the box score and pretend like I watched the entire game. I know that that's looked down on in radio. Nobody's ever done it ever, but that's what I will do at one point. Still got a lot of you calling. Don't go anywhere. We've got, the whole rest of the day to talk Bucks with you. Big show coming up next. Sparky and then Rami after that. And I would tune in tonight to the Odyssey app, BetMGM Tonight, Horvat's new show on the app and throughout radio stations across the country. And your boy's going to be on there 7:15.
I'll be tuning in tonight.
Tune in. Check me out. We'll be back tomorrow at 6. Big show next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.